Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Is anything worth my love? Is it worth the fight? You only get one chance. Nothing ties of hair. You would have won't listen to me. Nothing that wants out of my brain. I can't help helps the man who fights his fear. Love's the only thing that keeps me here. The reason that I hang it on.
Tonight, breaking news. For the first time in history, the Speaker of the House ousted.
Tonight, breaking news. For the first time in American history, the Speaker of the House is removed after a vote from within the Republican Party. What happens now?
Breaking news tonight, the chaos at the Capitol. Republican Kevin McCarthy ousted as House Speaker by members of his own party. McCarthy now the first Speaker in history to be voted out. The showdown on the floor. The vote forced by Matt Gaetz, part of a small band of GOP hardliners, angry with McCarthy for cutting a deal to avert a shutdown.
So that's not what we thought was going to happen yesterday. Oh, man. The problem of making predictions is you can turn out wrong. I did not think he was going to have the votes to do it. But then, you know, somewhere in the middle of the day, I was listening to Guy Benson, who's the new afternoon host we have on from 1 to 4. And by the way, kudos to Bobby Rossi, who still works with us, in case you didn't know. He's our program director. And, you know, he was the one that pushed for, you know, putting live, local, not on time delay shows on the air. And it paid off yesterday because we had local coverage all the time of this stuff happening. And he was criticizing Matt Gaetz, which is fine. I don't, you know, the variety of opinions. I didn't think he was on target in his criticisms, but still, you know, the fact that we had, you know, ongoing coverage of this breaking news event that was affecting the nation and kind of started here in our area, it was kind of nice. It was really nice. You know, I know a lot of folks kind of miss Dave Ramsey, but he's still on at night. And that was one of the trade-offs always was, you know, whenever there was local breaking news or just national breaking news, you know, Dave Ramsey's not talking about that. He's talking about his stuff. Anyway, it was good listening to him and listening to him talk about Matt. And his claim was that Matt didn't have anything he was asking for. He was just throwing a temper tantrum. I thought that was inaccurate because Matt has many times talked about what he wanted to accomplish and why he was doing this. And, you know, I thought yesterday in all of the speeches gave, you know, it was basically Matt versus all. Essentially, you know, it was the Republicans who were supporting Kevin McCarthy had different people come up all over and over again. And Matt basically was there, you know, holding court against all of them from the Democrat side because they wouldn't let him speak from the Republican podium, which is, you know, then they blame him for not being on the Republican side. Like, you know, you can't really have both of those.
It is astonishing to hear any colleague give Speaker McCarthy credit for moving on to the single subject appropriations bills. As you heard my colleague, Mr. Biggs, say, that was never the plan from Speaker McCarthy. The week before we moved on to those single subject appropriations bills, the plan was another CR. He pitched a CR. They tried to get us to vote for a CR, and only when a brave few said, we are done governing by continuing resolution, we are here to eulogize the era of continuing resolution, we will not do it, we will not pass it. These bills can go, the spending may rise and fall as the years pass, but the notion that we're going to lump in the Department of Education and the Department of Labor with our military and our troops and our Border Patrol is fundamentally unserious and I would suggest chaotic. We cannot do that. It was only because we forced that to happen. And by the way, if we continue with Speaker McCarthy, the appropriations process will go right back to what he wanted it to go back to. Just a sideshow, just a puppet show, just something to keep the hamsters on the hamster wheel as they continue to back people up against a calendar, centralize power with the lobbyists and special interests that move all kind of money through the leadership. And then that's how they get their way, and that's why the American people have been getting screwed decade after decade, and I'm not going to tolerate it anymore without a fight.
See, I just don't think you want to get into a debate with Matt, because he knows how to tell the story, and he's right. I mean, whether you think this was the way to approach it, whether you think this was the right thing to do, it's basically the institutional Republican Party versus some people who, and by the way, there's a lot of people who I think would have been with Matt if they weren't afraid of retaliation. A lot of people who would have been, you know, on the other side, except there's so much power hold and will we fund your campaign and do you raise enough money for the party and all of this kind of strong arm insider politics. Like, did you go down into the phone banks today and make your calls and get your fundraising? I mean, that kind of stuff that Matt doesn't participate in. So, you know, he had it with McCarthy and that system and wants to bring reform. Will he get it? I don't know. But again, I taught philosophy for 10 years, so I'm fairly good at recognizing good and bad arguments. I don't always get it right. I fully admit that. I'm human, okay? But what I saw from the Republicans who were defending Kevin McCarthy yesterday was a lot of nonsense. Like, arguments that didn't make any sense at all. You know, and, like, even Kevin McCarthy in the afterwards was, you know, bragging about stuff that, like, wasn't even a brag. I mean, he said that, where was the clip here? He was talking about the big wins that they got accomplished and, you know, how much they did and, how, you know, what they, wonderful stuff. And here's him. Here's Kevin McCarthy after the ouster.
For those who said about what we accomplished, I'm proud of what we accomplished.
He's proud?
For parents' bill of rights, for our energy bill. But if they want to hold me liable because the Senate didn't take it up or the president didn't take it up, that's politics, for what I know.
Your big accomplishment is two bills that didn't get heard in the Senate? What? I mean, that's a weird thing to get excited about. Now, they did open up the Capitol. I give them credit for that. They did open up the Capitol, remove the metal detectors. That's good. But that's it? In 9 months? That's all you can brag about? And, you know, Matt Gaetz raises the point. He says, and the other things that you think you did well, you did not really do well, like the debt deal.
It is lovely to hear from the principal architect of Mr. McCarthy's debt limit deal, but here's the reality. The only Republicans in America who believe that the debt limit deal was conservative are in this chamber right now. Because all over America, Republicans think that when you negotiated that debt limit deal, they took your lunch money.
Yeah, we do think that. 717 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for you.
Now, I don't know if it's an accident or if there was a train here at 29 in Muskogee right near the mill, but it is very slow southbound, and it was slow northbound, but it looks like northbound has moved. So caution there, certainly caution wherever you are, although it may be done. And then another accident, of course, that we've been talking about all morning, two actually right next to each other. On 90, on the other side of downtown Milton, near 87, and it's showing a couple of accidents, slow westbound on 90 and northbound on 87. Traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. It's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care, 250-3756 for your no-hassle estimate. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to the fight leading up to the ouster yesterday, where, again, I listened to the Republicans who were fighting to protect Kevin McCarthy, and I thought they had almost nothing to say of substance. Meanwhile, you know, Congressman Gaetz, our congressman, you know, kept saying things that I thought his analysis was on.
My colleague says we've passed the strongest border bills in history. Well, guess what? Look at the border right now. We didn't use sufficient leverage in the debt limit or in any other thing to actually get results on the border. The border is a disaster, really something I don't think you're going to be campaigning on, that you fixed the border. Second, you said you streamlined regulations. What the gentleman from Louisiana doesn't tell you is that all of the regulatory reform he was just bragging about is waivable by the stroke of a pen of someone in the Biden White House. Do you really think you've got anything for that? It's a total joke. And then finally, the welfare to work that the gentleman from Louisiana said we got. The welfare programs that they said that they streamlined with their welfare to work stuff, they're actually going to grow. Because while they did work requirements, they blew out those programs with expanded eligibility. I'm real glad you guys didn't put work requirements on Medicaid. It probably would have resulted in Medicaid expansion.
Just like I said, just I recommend you don't get into a debate with Matt Gaetz in public, because you're not going to win most of the time. So they went ahead and did the vote. And, you know, it's kind of funny because they tried to shout real loud to make the vote be a no to vacate the speakership first.
The question is on adoption of the resolution. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The noes have it. The resolution is... Gentlemen from Florida.
I'd request the yeas and nays.
Yeah.
The yeas and nays are requested. Those favoring a vote by the yeas and nays will rise.
So they had the, yep, they didn't do it by yeas and nays, and so they went through and they counted.
On this vote, the yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
So we have no speaker for a week. That means that if something awful happens to the president and the vice president, Patty Murray would become president because the speaker's chair is vacant right now. She's the majority leader in the Senate. That's how that winds up happening. And then it'd be back to the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, just FYI if you're curious about that. So, we're going to cool off for a week and come back and figure out who's going to run the House of Representatives. We don't know at this point. Will Gates and his seven other people accomplish anything in this? To be determined. Maybe. You know, will they take it more serious? I mean, talk about using leverage. He's using leverage to get something accomplished. Was it personal against McCarthy? Maybe. Did he have a policy reason for it? Yes, definitely. Was it both? I mean, could be. I don't know. But, you know, do I think Kevin McCarthy was the great victorious House Speaker? No, not even a little bit. 437-1620, and he gave a super weird concession speech, too. It was like quoting Reagan and Lincoln and, you know, telling this long, windy, weepy personal story about how he got to be the speaker.
But you want to know the end of the story? I got elected to a seat I couldn't get an internship for. I ended up being the 55th speaker of the House. One of the greatest honors. I loved every minute.
Well, that's good. Did you? That's kind of weird. Also,
I do not regret negotiating. Our government is designed to find compromise. I don't regret my efforts to build coalitions and find solutions. I was raised to solve problems, not create them.
I don't have any regrets? That's a weird thing to say. I mean, he didn't exactly say that, but, you know, that's kind of odd because you're the 9-month speaker, the first time ever in history that you've been ousted as Speaker of the House of Representatives. He says he won't be speaker again.
I believe I can continue to fight, maybe in a different manner. I will not run for speaker again. I'll have the conference pick somebody else.
And also,
I hope you realize that every day I did the job, regardless whether you underestimated me or not, I wanted to do it with a smile.
Okay. All right. Well, that doesn't solve anything.
You know, I wouldn't change a thing.
That is such a weird thing to say when you just got first time ever in history ousted from the office of the speaker. But okay. Oh, somebody texted. This is a really good way to put it. They said they already did accomplish something. They sent the message. You know, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about it this way, but so I thought the Bud Light protest was misguided and silly and overblown, but it worked. I mean, you sent a message to corporations. Watch it now. We're not into all this nonsense. Watch it now. And, you know, Matt Gaetz and the other seven, I think they sent a message. Was it the right tactic? Would I have done it? No, I probably would have been on the other side. I'll just tell you, if I were in Congress, I probably would have been on the other side. I don't know for sure, but I'm just guessing, you know, based on personality, temperament, and all that. But now that, because I didn't think it would work. But now that I saw the strategy of get somebody else in and make sure they're aware that this is an ongoing problem that will be taken seriously if you don't do what we want done. That all Republicans say they want reform? We'll see if it worked. 723 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money. And called the certified public accountants at Benakis and Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis and Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis and Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis and Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, Paul Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters. Today, on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9, they'll talk about Jackson's cooking class, Atlas beverage class, Thanksgiving, holiday hours, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all today on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Jesse Kelly here. Do you feel protected? My personal protection plan is owning gold. The Oxford Gold Group helps you buy gold to have on hand or convert it into your 401k. If things get weird, I have gold on hand. I like that. You can buy coins or convert part of your 401k with the Oxford Gold Group. It's easy and safe. 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD.
More news, more talk with Markley Van Kevin Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh my God, we might have died. I can't think.
It's okay. If you need to, you go right ahead and vomit.
We'll never do not will.
All right, I know every once in a while I pull a cut that's a little bit of a deeper cut from a movie.
Yeah, and if I ask him, he turns his mic on and goes, hey, so, you know, every once in a while.
You remember Cameron from Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, okay. Alan Ruck.
Yeah, and he was in Speed with Sandra Bullock.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, okay, and Keanu Reeves, and that was the scene on the bus.
Oh, okay, cool,
says,
cool.
That's okay. So if you need to, you go ahead and vomit.
Great. I love all the actors.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Oh, I sure do. Watching a couple of accidents now. One is Bowman Avenue and 9.5 Mile in Pensacola, and they are showing a roadblock this morning. Certainly use caution there. I'm still showing that it's slow southbound on 29 right near the mill. And I don't know if there's an accident there. I assumed it was a train, but northbound doesn't seem to be backed up in that area. 29 is very slow, though, above Kingsfield, of course, and near 9.5 Mile as well, and 10 Mile for that matter. So just a little slow on southbound 90, wherever you are. And then Highway 90, or 29, rather, wherever you are. And another accident on 90 in Milton. Now, the other side of downtown near 87, showing a couple of accidents, or slow westbound on 90 and slow southbound on 87. If you have traffic tips or I'm wrong, let us know, okay? 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, mm-hmm. Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Biden administration forgiving $9 billion in student loans. The forgiveness will apply to 125,000 borrowers that have been on income-driven repayment plans. Major League Baseball's wild card round is underway. The Texas Rangers began Tuesday with a 4-0 shutout over the Tampa Bay Rays.
I love watching a game where the winning pitcher who pitched a shutout, Jordan Montgomery, we traded away, and one of these superstars for the Rays, Randy Arozarena, we traded away too. Good job, Cardinals.
I forgot that you managed the St. Louis Cardinals
yeah,
in your off
if
time.
Only okay. I could. Go yeah. ahead, David.
Today, you know, it seems like this should have fallen on a Tuesday, but today is actually National Taco Day.
On Wednesday, October the 4th, Americans will celebrate their love of beef, cheese, and lettuce folded in a crispy tortilla. You won't have to shell out much money either because restaurants across the country are offering deals and discounts on tacos. Some of the major chains celebrating National Taco Day include Del Taco, which is having a month of deals called Tacoberfest. At El Pollo Loco, if you buy two tacos, you get the third free. Jack in the Box is offering monster tacos for 99 cents. And Taco Bell, starting today, is bringing back its popular taco subscription service.
Oh, that's the taco
okay,
a day for $10 a month,
that's right?
Right?
There's
that's
a subscription
right.
service?
Yeah,
it's
a taco a day for $10, isn't it, for a month? Is that right, David?
I believe so, yeah.
So what, right. You get one taco a day?
Yeah, you get one taco a day through the app, I think is how you do it, and you spend $10 a month.
I posed the question.
I'm okay with Kevin McCarthy being ousted, but I'm like, tell me more about
just
these
give
tacos.
Me clarity on the taco yeah. deal.
What are your favorite tacos? What's your favorite
stuff? No, we're missing the right question here. How dare they have National Taco Day on a Wednesday?
That's exactly right.
It should have been
yesterday.
Absolutely should have been yesterday, for sure.
Help me, Matt Gaetz. You're my only hope.
We need to solve them. This with yeah. legislation.
I have you with hair buns and a white robe asking that question. I like it. All right.
Thank you.
coming up next, we're going to talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves, as we always do on a Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
Well, we've got more on Matt Gaetz and some reaction to it right after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A vote's expected next Wednesday on a new Speaker of the House, with Kevin McCarthy voted out 216 to 210. The charge led by Florida Republican Matt Gaetz, telling Fox,
I've traveled all over this country, and I have seen the despondence and the sadness in conservatives who don't believe that Republicans in Congress are fighting enough for them.
Unfortunately, 4% of our conference can join all the Democrats and dictate who can be the Republican Speaker in this House.
McCarthy calls the 8 Republicans who voted against him angry and chaotic. Nobel Prize winners for chemistry are announced.
These professors have managed to discover and make tiny particles called quantum dots used in everyday electronics like LED displays. And the clarity of light they produce helps surgeons map cancer tissue. Moungi Bawendi, Louis Bruss, and Alexei Ekimov will share the $1 million prize.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 68 degrees right now. It's partly cloudy, still looks a little bit hazy outside, but otherwise looks like a nice morning here in Pensacola. Congressman Matt Gaetz yesterday not backing down from criticism after the vote to oust Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker.
I'm afraid of $33 trillion in debt crushing the working people in my district. I'm afraid of the dollar losing its status as the global reserve currency. If they want to expel me, let me know when they have the vote.
Gaetz was told reporters that the move was necessary to get back on track towards a balanced budget, passing singular bills and eliminating wasteful spending in the government. The chamber did pass that vote 216 to 210. And seeing some reaction from former House Speaker Newt Gingrich after yesterday's events.
In an op-ed for the Washington Post on Tuesday, Gingrich called Gaetz anti-Republican and claimed he was engaging in childish behavior and has become actively destructive to the conservative movement. Gingrich said Gaetz should be expelled from the House Republican Conference for his motion to remove Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. McCarthy was voted out of office Tuesday after Gaetz put forward a motion to vacate the chair. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says efforts are continuing to acquire space to establish a police substation around North 9th Avenue and Creighton Road.
I would say in the next 2 weeks, we're just finalizing. I can't speak to details on it yet, but all I can tell you now is that we are getting very close to finding a location and getting that established.
And Reeves says officers working on the city's north side would be better served having a closer substation, as they often have evidence or body camera footage that needs to be processed. Currently, the only place they can do that is by driving all the way downtown. Well, more than 27 years after killing two women in the panhandle, 54-year-old Michael Dwayne Zack became the 6th Florida inmate to be executed this year.
He looked up for a couple of seconds, and he looked around, I guess, to see who all was there. I was told it was not a two-way mirror where he was looking, so he could see the witnesses there. And about a minute later, they confirmed that the governor had no reason for a delay, and they asked him his last words, to which he said, I love you all.
And that is Tanner Stewart from Channel 3. He was there last night as Zack was put to death. Governor DeSantis signed the death warrant for Zack on August 17th. Zack's attorneys, of course, had made some appeals to both the Florida and U.S. Supreme Courts here in recent months. We should find out in just a matter of weeks now if Governor Ron DeSantis' attempt to redraw the state's congressional districts will stand in court. Voting rights groups sued over the map because it eliminated a district in North Florida that was represented by a black lawmaker. The plaintiffs claim the map is illegal because it's the result of intentional discrimination. The federal trial ended yesterday. The three judges said they would have a ruling before the end of the year. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right, looks like Shemuckla Highway is pretty slow southbound, and then 90 east and westbound just on the other side of Shemuckla Highway on 90 in Pace. So use caution there. I'm not showing an accident. That doesn't mean there isn't one, but I'm just not showing it on my screen. Certainly use caution there, and as you know, wherever you are. 90 in Milton, looks like it has cleaned up a little bit near 87, so you shouldn't have that problem. 29 southbound, though, above from near Tate School Road, down to 10 Mile. Very, very slow. Stop and go this morning. That is southbound. And then southbound 29 above Muskogee, also pretty slow. I thought it was a train earlier, but northbound seems fine. Now, if you see anything or you have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620. Mayor of Pensacola, D.C. Reeves, joins us next. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much. Now, look at our Channel 3 forecast.
A beautiful day in store today with plenty of sunshine. High today near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. Partly cloudy skies on Thursday with a high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Nice weather does continue Friday with a small chance of a stray shower, keeping rain chance at 10%. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high near 88. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 68 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, and 63 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashenko with Your Money Now. Auto sales continued to rise over the summer quarter, with automakers and buyers largely unfazed by higher interest rates and the impact of a continuing UAW strike. J.D. Power says automakers sold an estimated 3.9 million new cars and trucks during the quarter, up about 17% over the year-ago period. Car buyers have continued to flock to dealership lots despite high car prices, reflecting a resilience in consumer demand. Influential lawmakers want the NBA and its players' union to cut ties with Chinese gear makers allegedly linked to forced labor in the country's Xinjiang region. The Congressional Executive Commission on China says Chinese sportswear companies that make branded gear for NBA players publicly embrace the use of supply chains linked to forced labor. The group of bipartisan lawmakers and executive branch officials set up to monitor China's human rights record also accused the players' union of complicity. On Wall Street, futures are higher. That's Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy, with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon, the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Join Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric is one of the least expensive hurricane protection systems available. It is strong and safe and defends against wind, water, and flying debris. The professionals from Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric will be here to take your calls and answer any questions you may have about protecting your home and family during a storm. That's tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local news with News Radio's news team.
I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3.
I'm News Director Joe Ford. Local news radio is so important because during major events or emergencies, you may not always be near a TV. Your phone and internet may go out, but radio is easily accessible and often the first source for information you need to know.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Once you collect all the cans, you put them in the stage, what do y'all sell them, or you just keep them? What do you do with that?
Right now, we're in the process of networking with other counties, cities, other municipalities. Ultimately, our goal is to sell them. Mm-hmm. But if not, we're going to try to recycle them.
Okay.
Go figure.
Go figure,
yeah.
Right?
But yesterday in his press conference, Mayor D.C. Reeves said something just a little bit different than that. That was the sanitation director. Yesterday he said...
Another question I've been asked is, you know, what are we going to recycle the old recycling cans? No, we're not. We're looking for you know, the ability to leverage that, whether that's some additional funding to help subsidize recycling by selling the cans. We're not going to make any big quick decisions on what we're going to do with the cans until we know what the opt-in. You know, we may be turning right back around and taking 5,000 or 6,000 of those and putting them back in the city for an opt-in program. We don't know that yet.
There you go. So two different answers, maybe not quite two different answers, but D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. This is now 2 weeks in a row we've started with a recycling can drama of some kind. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I know I'm enjoying it.
Okay, so I have questions about this. I know you've kind of been reluctant to give a status update, but it seems like 21,000 cans being picked up is maybe not quite as easy a task as the administration believed it would be. Where do you think we are? Maybe halfway through at this point?
Yeah, we are. And look, I mean, I think I want to be clear, and certainly in defense of staff and everything else. You know, this is a best laid plan situation. There was no playbook to pick up 21,000 cans in a week.
Right.
And, you know, you can lay it out and you can put it on paper. And then the factors of not, you know, picking them up when they're full, them being in garages, us not having enough. And that's not on the citizens, it's on us. You know, and I would say always, and no matter the topic, I can always, you know, handle delays or explain delays. I tried. My number one thing is doing what I say I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this is bothersome to me, but the buck stops with me, you know, so I've got to be accountable to, and lesson learned, that the next time, hopefully never, that we have to pick up 21,000 cans, that we, you know, a lot that we don't get overzealous on our timetable on what we think we can do. So, but at the end of the day, that's not the citizens' fault. It's a complex thing. It's not as easy as just, you know, driving right by and holding an arm out and scooping them all into a truck.
Right.
But we are moving as fast as we can. I can tell you we're going generally north to south in the city. So much of kind of the Summit Boulevard and north area I know has already been picked up. And if it makes anybody feel any better, I live in Sanders Beach, so my can will be last out of the 21,000.
Yeah, right by the water.
Exactly. So anyway, I appreciate everybody's patience with it, and you know, we certainly are double timing it this week.
And by the way, the guidance is still, if you've got your can out on the curb waiting to be picked up, leave it till it's picked up. That's still the guidance, right?
Yes, and I understand the annoyance of that, but there's no other. We had conversations about that to say, well, we had everyone pull them back in. It's hard enough to communicate something to 55,000 people. If we've gotten this far, I don't know that there's a better viable solution. So
no, I agree.
We know it's annoying, you know, but we, you know, we're collecting at a much higher rate, I would say, since Friday, and we worked all day Saturday, we are literally renting trucks and temporary staffing to get this thing double timed and complete.
And so it's not easy. It's like you say, there's no device designed where you can just go down the street and pick them all up. And unless I'm mistaken, I don't think typically these things stack within each other. You can't nest them within each other. So it's, you know, it's 20 or 30 at a time on the truck and then go drop them under the interstate where you guys have the holding pen and then come back and get more. And it's just a very labor intensive process. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and then there's other wrenches, like again, whether one's full or not,
right.
Whether one's full of garbage or not. Well, if you're taking a U-Haul and going down one street, you know, off Spanish Trail, and half of them are full of stuff, well, then that changes the capacity that you can get. So you know, again, I think it's a, you know, misevaluation on our part of the variables, you know, and again, you know, buck stops with me though. I've got to be accountable to that, and. As I said, the things that make me lose sleep at night is not delays, not inconveniences that we know are coming. It's when we say we're going to do something, we don't do it. And so, you know, the citizens should expect better of me and better of us. But I can tell you we are diligently on it, and I appreciate everybody's patience as we get that done.
Well, and, you know, as we all know, sometimes you think an idea is real simple and you do it, and then all of a sudden you find, oh, you know, so it's,
yeah,
look,
exactly.
You know, that's just the way it is. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, hang on for me for just a second. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
That's a lot of cans as we take a look at our roads. We're still showing a slowdown, although not bad now. 29 southbound near, above Muskogee, so it looks a little bit better than it was. A little slow 29 above 9 Mile, but again, it looks like just usual congestion. We are showing a almost stop, it looks like. This is westbound on Highway 98 in Navarre as you're approaching Avalon Boulevard. You see an accident or a slowdown, you can text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You guys talked yesterday a little bit and you know, a little bit of an announcement also that the there's a substation being expanded from the Pensacola Police Department. And I had talked to PPD. And they say it's going to be on PSC, that's where it's likely to be located. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. The actually, really, almost alongside the Pensacola State Police facility. And this is something we've been looking at for several months, actually at a previous location in the same area. And this was born from the idea that when people, you know, we have 11 beats for the police department in the city, across the city. And if you have body cam footage, if you have something that a transaction as a police officer that happens up off Creighton Road, off 9th Avenue, well, then what do you have to do? You've got to leave there, go all the way back downtown, do what you need to do, and then go back to the beat. So the net result of a north substation, this is not going to be necessarily a customer facing one. This is not going to be, people aren't going to be booked here. It's really administrative use. But the end result is that you end up having our police officers closer to their beat and in the field more often. So if we can eliminate, I mean, just do the math over, a year of time, how many, 15-minute drives into town, 15-minute drives out of town, back to the beat, you add up all that minutes of time that those officers are instead in the field, on your street, in your cul-de-sac, on your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. I think that's going to be a huge benefit, especially to the north part of our city, to just have more feet on the street because we make it a little easier for them to be able to stay up there. So we're very, very excited about this. It's something we've been working hard on, and we're in the final stages. I was a little more mum about location only because our last location was tripped up at the 11th hour on some legal issues. I certainly don't suspect that here. Because this being a university, this is a little bit of a different situation. So I feel very confident that we've got this figured out, but we should be dotting I's and crossing T's here by the end of this week.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's great. And I mean, I'm completely on board. I think this makes perfect sense to have a substation located there for North End. Can you say where the other place that didn't work out, or would you rather not? I mean, it's fine if you don't want to. I understand.
Yeah, I know. I don't mind saying it because it didn't end. It ended perfectly amicably. We were looking at putting it on at Sacred Heart, and they were very open-minded about that, but it's just a classic case of a private property and public use, especially when you talk about public safety and liability and things like that.
Okay.
So they were very well-intended and wanted to make it happen. We did too. But really, in retrospect, and I even told the Sacred Heart folks this, the Pensacola State Partnership, given the fact that it's next to their police resources, I think it frankly makes a lot more sense. So I'm very appreciative of Sacred Heart and their whole team. They nothing of their fault of why it didn't end up there, just some things that we couldn't overcome. But
yeah.
We were looking there first, and then now I think we really ended with the best result.
And if it's genuinely, you know, cops mostly north coming south to go to the location, I mean, PSC is a little bit farther north. You missed out on a couple sets of traffic lights getting there. You know, these things might wind up being a benefit in the long run anyway. Just kind of a quick thing is I apologize. We talked about the tree thing, and we talked about what your arborist said, which I thought were very forthright comments. I appreciated that. But just in case there was any lingering confusion, two different funds, right? You've got the $1 million for the low-income areas, underserved areas, and then you've got the Tree Planting Trust Fund trying to find a best place to use those dollars. And when organizations come to you and say, hey, we're ready to do this, and it's going to be cheaper than you doing it yourself somewhere else, do it in those places, right?
Exactly. So we now have, thankfully, with this forestry grant, we now have two buckets of tree planting money. One is the traditional bucket that, frankly, I think we have not done a good job as a city of spending. You know, collecting interest, as I've always joked, in a tree planting fund is not the best idea. You want to get it in the ground. But we've got about $250,000, give or take, in that. And that those are funds that are those could be for violations from cutting trees down or fines and penalties, fees, those kinds of things that help fund that. Now, that could be used across the city. There's no stipulations on that. The new money that we're getting, which is $700,000 of that million, is directly to planting. So now, I mean, think about it. We only have $250,000 for the whole city. We now have $700,000 for our lower middle income areas.
It's a big bunch of money.
That bucket of money is designated to specific areas, general areas, because of how we applied the grant and the fact that we didn't have to put up a match because we were able to meet that need. So that will have some more kind of stipulations to it. But unfortunately or unfortunately, we have a lot of opportunity here in the city of Pensacola to help immediately in those areas of our city to help have better tree care.
No, and as you have said, as long as the trees get in the ground instead of the money in the bank, I'll be happy to see that outcome. We always like to end on a lightning round, some questions for the mayor. First question for you is, do you name your car? And if so, what's the name?
I don't. Do you?
I have a long weepy story about why I don't name my car anymore, but no. As a kid, yes, not now. Have you ever? Family car, anything like that?
No, I haven't. I just a transactional relationship.
same. I give no love to my car anymore. It's just a device. Is there a household chore that DC Reeves particularly despises?
Oh man, fold. I don't mind putting the laundry in, but putting it away is that's a killer for me. I'll do anything. I'll do anything else. I don't know. I don't know if I lack structure or organization, whatever it is. I putting it all away once it's done, is that one's very painful.
There's nothing quite so joyous as folding a fitted sheet. Come on, that's so satisfying. Everybody loves that job.
Right, exactly.
And then last one, since we began with recycling, we'll end with recycling, sort of. When you are moving your either recycling or garbage bin around, do you A, pull it behind you, or B, push it in front of you?
Always a pull behind. And if I'm feeling dangerous, I won't even take it down the driveway. I'll jump the curb, you know, the steep curb, you know, and maybe the water will splash up from the gutter or whatever. But no, always maybe a double pull behind if I'm feeling overzealous.
Yeah, that's right. You can't double push, but you can double pull. That's exactly right. Very dangerous times at the Reeves household with the over the curb approach. Mayor DC Reeves, as always, you're a risk taker. You're an entrepreneur. You know why not? Mayor Reeves, as always, a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Of course. Thanks, Captain.
7:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a business and you have employees and you have to deal with benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, payroll, all of that kind of stuff, like normal things you have to deal with in a business, and you don't love the current system or the current provider that you've got, hey, see if there's a better way. See if there's a different way. Torgerson Causey, they've been helping businesses like yours do this for more than 20 years. I mean, for us, just here in Pensacola, here at News Radio and Cat Country, we've been doing it for about 6 years with them, and they're great. They gave us options on our health insurance we didn't have before. They're great at customer service. They always answer all the very detailed questions that my wife likes to ask, and she's right for asking, and they have answers. Not everybody does that, but they do. So we've been very satisfied with them. So if you want a little bit of help, or just maybe they can look over what you're doing and see if there's a way to do it better for no obligation, of course, 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey, or check them out at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Rumors of Fleetwood Mac, the world's finest tribute to Fleetwood Mac, returns to the stage in 2023. A brand new show celebrating the very best of Fleetwood Mac. A unique opportunity for fans both old and new to rediscover the songs and performances that have ensured Fleetwood Mac's place as one of the most loved groups of all time. Personally endorsed by Fleetwood Mac founding member Mick Fleetwood. Live at Pensacola Sanger Theater on November 22nd. The ultimate tribute to Fleetwood Mac. Tickets are on sale now from Ticketmaster.com.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. We are gearing up for an exciting homecoming weekend, and we invite all community members, alumni, and fans to join us for the game on October 7th at Penn Air Field. Learn more about our homecoming events and football team by joining us on October 5th on the Pensacola Expert Panel. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 till 7 right before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What did you expect, kid? It's my TV arm.
Fight with Frank Verone over his remote control arm. 7:56 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for us.
Front gate of Pensacola NAS is backed up to Sunset this morning, and so far it's the only thing that we're seeing. Well, in 98 westbound as you're approaching Avalon Boulevard and Navarre and Gulf Breeze, showing an accident this morning, or not an accident. I'm sorry, just a slowdown. Again, that is westbound. Not to say there's not an accident, and certainly if you see something, if you have a traffic tip, text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I got a funny text in here. We're talking about the recycling cans. Somebody says, 21,000 cans. I got that in the bed of my truck. Nice.
That's funny.
Oh, somebody else suggested, what if the citizens just wheeled them all down to the storage area? I didn't ask the mayor. I have to ask. They're probably just not equipped for it. They probably just have a lock on the area, and it's probably not a person there manning it. I suppose you could drop it outside. I don't know. It's an interesting idea. It just logistically in my head, I picture, you know, 18,000 homeowners simultaneously converging on the storage area under I-110 with their recycling cans, which they all walk on the sidewalks that are also currently obstructed with the other people's recycling cans, so maybe it's not going to work out that way.
Be fun.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Thousands of healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente hospitals have now gone on strike. Picketing began this morning at hospitals in California, Colorado, Oregon, Virginia, Washington. About 75,000 healthcare workers there wanting better wages and more staffing. They're asking for a $25 an hour minimum wage. Now, Kaiser does have a few Florida locations. I'm not sure if any Florida workers are involved in the strike or not.
Who is easily cleanable linoleum floors? These are easily cleanable linoleum floors. Who's just imagining the chance the nurses would have at the... Well, no, not
they,
good.
They ought to have AI write them some good chants for their picket line, you know. And Western militaries are running out of ammunition to give to Ukraine as the war with Russia continues on. NATO and British officials said that yesterday. They urged Western nations to ramp up ammunition production to keep Ukraine in the fight. C-3PO's head is going up for auction next month, Andrew. It's one of the iconic props from Star Wars, expected to go for $1 million.
Well, doesn't he need it?
Apparently not anymore.
You're not trying to imply that C-3PO is not a real animated mechanical being, are you?
I would never make that implication.
Because I was a little distressed by the way you just suddenly thrust upon me the idea of C-3PO as a mere disembodied head. A little weird.